think I'd like to talk about the UDAD first, only because it may turn out the way the UDAD did. David, the UDAD is a mountain goat that I discovered at the zoo. And several years ago, when our class was doing James Joyce's Dubliners, what I did, I went to the zoo, and finding up the UDAD, I found a mountain goat that stood, several mountain goats, like a family of goats, that stood so still that soon they melted into the environment. And I watched them for a length of time, and they didn't move. And then every once in a while, one would flick a tail or the other, an ear. And then there'd be a ripple of movement throughout the colony, and then it would settle down again. I took the class to see this because in doing Joyce's Dubliners, what I was hoping that they would understand is what it's like to be born into the city of Dublin, let's say, to be in Ireland, and to be born into the same neighborhood so that you practically blend in with the physical environment and that you know the other people so well that you don't have to do anything and yet you understand them and they understand you. And that's why sometimes artists like Joyce had to flee his environment in order to live his own life. What happened, it was still a very good experience, but to my dismay, the day that I brought the class to the UDADs, the male, our UDAD, was on a sexual rampage, right? And to my horror, I mean, I had them bring up their benches, and I said to them, now just sit, and you're just going to watch this, thinking they were going to watch nothing for 20 minutes. Instead, the male, our UDAD, kept nudging every our UDAD, God knows what the sexes were, down into the cage, and there was constant movement the whole 20 minutes, and the class was passionately interested as though they were watching some porno movie. You can imagine my dismay. So today, you know, I don't know, as I tell you, I will tell you after we observe what's going on, I will tell you why there may have been changes in my own behavior or what my physical behavior will be. So, you know, I don't know. You don't know what these UDADs are going to come up with. Ruth, when I was in the hospital, I think, sent me an Esquire magazine, was it then, with an article by Nabokov in it. It's an incredible article. What I want to do is use his language in the article to talk about the lesson today, David. So he talks about the reading of 6 or 7 books. He said, if you have read and reread 6 or 7 books, this is all really that you have to know in order to be a very deeply wise and knowledgeable person. Although I have debated with myself, really since I have been playing around with this idea that this was a very important class, I'm not sure it is. I keep debating with myself, how much shall I say? My feeling is this. I would like this to be the first reading of the book. Let's say that it's a book that doesn't reveal itself fully at all in the first reading. Still, I would rather not have you read secondary material in order to understand the book. So that's why I don't want to talk about what's in my mind to make it more accessible to you. I'd rather throw the class away and say it didn't work. So let's say that there is a preface to the book, but the preface will come afterwards. And I'd rather that you each had that perhaps frustrating experience. And I find a terrifying experience of doing little or nothing for 30 or 40 minutes or 20, however long my body takes. To me, you know, since I have shaved my head and I'm doing these exercises, I am different. I, you know, it's about time that I got to this place. But there are times in my life when just stopping and really not having much to watch or think that I didn't have much to watch could drive me crazy, okay? So I think I'll put you through that also as a kind of testifier. So that's all I would like to say about the lesson. I will go do some of them on the bed, and then I will try to forget your presence, and I'll have my eyes closed. Then, when I've finished one half of the batch, I come in and do the other couple on the floor and on this chair. I can do it on this chair. All that I will say is this. Perhaps you could take pencil and paper if you wish, or just make mental notes, or just observe, either way. Just observe. Heck with a pencil and paper. What I will say is this. The only clues out there is observe me. Observe, my eyes will mostly be closed. Observe the action. Observe my eyelids. Observe my brow. Observe between my eyebrows. Observe my shoulders, my arms, my toes, my breath, all right? Observe the rhythm. This is why I'm wearing a bra for today, David, because I want you to observe my shoulder blades. I want you to observe the action. That's all. I'll give you just some hint of a kind of routine exercise, so you'll know what I'm doing. With one leg bent, bring the other knee towards your chest as far as possible. Repeat 10 times, etc. This is my full sheet. When I come in here, I have to lie down and raise each arm 10 times each. The very last exercise, if it doesn't hurt on my thigh, but I'm having pain there, I would sit on the floor with my knees slightly bent and relax the spine, which is very stiff, and do nothing other than bend slightly forward, incline slightly forward, and allow more to happen by doing nothing other than releasing tension in the spine. Okay, so that's really all I'm going to do. Okay. Good. It's over. At least once. Make yourself comfortable. Now, lie down if you wish. Dear Ruth, I have things I want to say, but I think I'd like... Do you feel like saying anything? And then David, if you feel like saying something, and then I will say it, and then we'll each take another turn at saying it.
I have nothing to say.
Okay. David, do you have something you feel like saying at this time?
One thing that one observation, yes, that was the strongest one.
Mm-hmm.
Was that you seemed to be listening to your body. What I saw was with each execution, it was its own execution. It wasn't 10 in a series as much as it was. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it would be 1, and then sometimes it would be 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice would come out. But it was like you weren't fighting your mind, you were fighting your body each individual time. You never listened. Sometimes your will was ready, your body wasn't ready, and you waited and caught up with itself.
Yes,
absolutely
so.
And that's what I like.
What is that?
That's what I like about it. I think we should be familiar.
I think it's taken me many years. That's what I want to convey to both of you, is that very thing. I was both, and for literally the first time in my life, I would jump around from it. I really forgot your presence. And when I opened my eyes and I sort of saw you there, I had totally forgotten. That's what these days have been like. What's happened, it's both a listening, but it's also almost like watching an inner movie going on. I mean, I am a dirty old dog. I was, I, and when I felt, it was a feeling also, when I felt that there was any tension gathering up in any one part, mm-hmm. I would not kid myself. I would wait and release it. I could see sometimes my eyes would bunch up. You used the word fighting, David, and I, at one point, too, it's like the war that is going on in my body. But I think, I mean, I think those are real words, but I think it also was a kind of a benevolent combat, or, you know, a benevolent ritual going on also. I mean, the point is there was a great deal of activity going on.
Yes.
And I don't think I'm, except for one moment on the hand thing that I'll tell you about in a moment, where there was a fight and I stopped. I think what I'm doing is with a really quieting down the body where it's unnecessary to be active, and trying to move the activity down into the spot that is required to move. So when, you see, I have a lot of twitching and flinching in these arms, I less really in this last week since I have been quieting them down. But where you guys might get it in the back or in the shoulders, I have removed it to this top part of the arm. And I can feel the muscle grabbing like this when I have to do something that isn't related to it in any way. I mean, I know that everything's related and everything moves very gently, but when things move spasmodically, then you know that what you're doing is pulling the strength away from the weak place and bringing it to your strong place in a neurotic way. So, yes, this is what I've been trying to do for myself. And it is true that the 30 and 45 minutes, which I thought when I first began, I could never do. I thought, I haven't been able to do it for 30 years. Why should, you know, but this was my bottom line. I knew this time there was no avoiding it. So, what I understand is this, that everyone I speak to has a secret part that he or she hasn't done for 15 years. You know, 15 years ago, you should have, my friend Yelena, who's 75, said, oh, but darling, I should have done it 15 years ago, but I didn't. See, and I should have done these 30 years ago because I knew about them 30 years ago and couldn't. We talked about this together. One, that these are the least ego-gratifying exercises you can do. That's one reason why we don't do them. The world is going on outside. Careers are being made. Fame is being bestowed. And what's happening to me? I'm in here, forgotten, doing my leg push-up exercise, which in the immediate sense has nothing to do with my passions or my desires. So we skip it over. Life is too interesting in other ways to stop what we're doing and do this. Another reason people don't do it, and I just want to lay these things out, is that they lose count. See, I've been making a list of all the reasons why we don't. The main thing is the first one, is that it does not serve the ego. It doesn't get us up there with the guys who are making it. See, that's the main thing. It is boring if we do it without this other thing. Once you go into this other thing that I have found, it's like that, you know, challenge, you go to prison for 15 years and then you don't want to come out. It has that, it's in the nature of that. Once you begin to do the exercises the way I seem to be doing them now, although I'm always glad they're over, and I think I've got to do once more, shut up out of my mind. But if you lose count, little by little, you'll not do them. So that's why I count out loud, because if the mind does wander, and you think, well, what did I do, three, was it five? Just that much is enough in a few days to make you stop doing it. That's how delicate this discipline is. If you have a question in your mind of, should I lift my leg when I do that, or should I run along the floor? If you have a question like that, you will stop doing it in 1 or 2 days, because everything that happens weakens the will to do it. The profound boredom when you first begin it. Profound boredom. You're not looking for anything, you're not seeing anything. You're merely doing something 10 times, and if you have to be rested in between, and if the body has to be beautiful in between, like really whole, really simple, before you do this, you know, if you don't know how to get at that, then it's a totally boring experience. So these are the reasons we don't do it. Why did I especially, why am I especially concerned that you, oh, these things, they really get me nervous. I don't know if it's going to work. Because I got a 60-minute take. That meant a 30-minute on each side. And I don't know when to do it. And will it click?
No.
Will it? I don't know. Anyway, I have to work something out about this. Ruth, see, this is what concerns me on you, and you have enough of it. Ruth, your shoulders, you know, we have little balls of stone in there, and the tension goes through the arms into the fingers, mm-hmm. really. Now, like me, 15 years later, you know, you'll say, oh, I really have to do something about my shoulders. What you're doing is, you know, you're somewhat aware, but you're not, I mean, this is the time to be aware of it. And yet, if somehow we don't dramatize it as this lesson we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. that particular exercise for you, you'll never do it, just like I never did mine. Mm-hmm. So we have to find what is it that keeps you from doing those shoulder exercises to the best of your ability, and you've got a long way to go. See, I really have suddenly come into letting go of them. Were you able to tell on the bed that the shoulders worked for the most part easy, mm-hmm. or that I wouldn't move until that's right, until they were good? That has taken me years. I mean, my shoulders were like this. I used to act with this shoulder forward like this, and it would go, it would would sort of move with the emotion, see, until this was in 1961 or two, when a mean singing teacher pointed that out to me. And from that time to just a few months ago, when I noticed that they gave way. That's 20 years. So I don't want you to go through 20 years. And you will, because you're no better or worse than I am. You're the same, you know? So, okay, so somehow or other, we have to deal with that. With David, I know now, remember, in that whole year that we were together, and I used to, you know, point the, you know, if you don't get the voice work, you are fucked, man, you are. You know, what was that all about? See, now there's no problem. You really do want the voice work. But the reason I wanted you here was, how to do it. That's what I think watching me meant. So that the exercises that I give you, which you are ready to do, pretty much, what I want you to know is that you have to do them with such delicate grace, with such generosity of spirit, so that you kind of think, oh, the forward consonants, you know, on the vowel, and you sort of think it forward. See, that, for me, 10 years ago, was as difficult as what this is now. Mm-hmm. I did do it. Somehow I knew I had the right method, and I just had the habit. I wanted it so desperately. These other things we don't want desperately enough because they're not in the way yet. See, Ruth, your shoulders are not in the way yet. You can still be exquisite in the movie. You can still be exquisite on stage, and it doesn't show up. But you know it's there, and I know it's there. And I see it, you see. But other people don't. Good. The less they see, the better. The better. But we don't need them to see it. We just want to know it's there. See, so that while they're not in your way, you won't really do that exercise. David found out somehow that voice thing was really in the way. I think that's what happened. And when you really felt it, you wanted it. Now the thing is how to do the voice work. It takes every bit that quiet, When I say the word decision, I want it to be like a spiritual decision. That quiet spiritual decision to let the thought see the vowel and consonant on the front part of the mouth, etc., and to try it very gently there. And when it doesn't work, that's okay. Stop, leave it alone, then go back to it again. Now, David, all right, so to find a way to move into that very gently, taking almost all that time that you need to do it once. So really what it is like you take almost a minute to get the body light and empty and the mind and the breath to move right to there, and then it's over. Forget it. Walk away. You know, as Alice says, go get a drink of water. So what's really most important is the delicacy around the exercise. It's like getting yourself absolutely into the most perfect place, the most perfect place, and then trying the exercise once, and that's all. So you see, but you see what a discipline that takes. I mean, that's what I was doing on the bed and on the floor, and that's taken me a long time, and I will teach you how to do it. The point is to love doing it, and to want to do it, and to say, my God, this took me 5 minutes to get myself ready to go, me. I mean, that could, in another time, that could drive you out of your mind to say, what am I doing? I'm never getting anywhere. But because we are seeing different things, and because we've seen Yen Lu's dancing, and we know that what she was doing is really what I'm doing. I was thinking of Yen Lu today, you know, always trying to connect things up to show how they really are the same thing. When I move the breath down through the body, and have it move back up through the torso and out through the arm. Take this. What I was doing was following energy that was uninterrupted. Did you feel that? That's what we have to learn. Each of you has to learn is how to follow that energy. So that after, in acting, when we talk about seamless acting, S-E-A-M-L-E-S or S-E-E-M-L-E, it's like Yen Lu's dancing, like Robert Redford's acting. What happens is the thought is like you read the script. You forgot to bring the script? Oh, okay. We read the script, we get an idea about the character total. We get it like that. You just take the idea and you move it down through this empty, accepting body. And then the idea comes back up into your eyes, and it comes back up into your mouth, and it comes back up into your gesture, and you're the character. Why not? Why couldn't it be that way? That's the way Yen Lu was dancing. That's the way I would like us to do our acting. So that nothing really ever gets in the way of it. It's like thought, conception, move it through the body, express it, make a gesture. There's no break from the conception to the mind, to the thought, to the feelings, to the physical self. Okay. So David, we'll, you know, when we work together on the speech stuff, I will constantly, we'll find ways, you know, we just have to get together on it now. One of the reasons, I think one of the other reasons I came up with this exercise is, do you remember in class how David would manipulate that his torso, the chest, in the breathing thing, and, you know, strange things would go on, you know, pressing something down, pressing down the knee, pressing on the back of the neck, because you wanted to do the exercise and you were grabbing at what you thought was the physical way to behave. Once I did it, when I was on the floor and I could not get my hands above, did you see how I tried? Poor little man, Jesus. But what happened was, with this end, I began to try too hard, so I manipulated just the way you did, with all of the pressure that David put in his throat and in his chest, And what I found was that when I try too hard, I put pressure from the occipital bone down on my neck. You can't see it. Only I can feel it. You do that too. And see, but it's very delicate. You will learn the difference. What I began to do here, because I was trying so hard to show that there was a little bit of space between my hand and the floor, was that I was really moving this. And this is my neurosis. Right back at the back of my neck, the top of my spine, when I push my skull, if this is the occipital bone, when I push my skull down on that bone, then I am being neurotic. I know it. And I don't do it much in the lesson. I do, in the lessons, I used to squeeze with my arms for some reason. That was where my, you know, if I were nervous or somehow on edge, I would feel it in my upper arms. But when I'm alone, or when I'm acting, when I'm performing, if I push down here, I'm in trouble, okay? So, you see, when I did the, did you know, I stopped and I kind of put my hand there. I said to myself, I taught myself, I said, don't be so eager to raise your arm that I press down here. Better just stop trying. Now, for me to stop trying is, I mean, my tombstone says she tried. I will die, you know. So I took my courage, you know, in my hand, and without doing anything, I just thought it moving up. And sort of hoped it would move up, and just thought about it. That's the best I can do right now, but I think it's better than squeezing the back here in order to show myself how hard I'm trying to do the exercise. So I too do it still in different ways. That's what I want you to learn. And I was most eager for you to see how to really purify the body, to not try, to be patient enough to take the concept, allow the thought to find its way eventually down to the place, you know, that has to move, and know that in time you will get that movement without paying a price for it. That's what I'm interested in. Okay? Mostly for you, Ruth, yes, we will find there are exercises just like the one that I told David, we will do emptying out exercises, moving it down through the arm and out the fingers. But mostly for you, I think it was to say, Ruth, we mustn't let 15 years go by. I think that was the dramatic point of the lesson of your being here today. He had certain other, you know, things to learn from it. So if you did learn from watching my body, and if we have somehow dramatized this moment, then this is the class. This is what this class was all about. The rereading, how shall I say this? I think what I would like in the next class, you don't have to watch me.
I liked watching you. That was one of the best parts. You have a beautiful body. Really?
You know, what we do though is we will watch Ruth, David and I will watch Ruth, and then Ruth and I will watch David. And we will actually live through the experience together. Then you will take it home, and this is the catch. Find time to do it. Finding that time to do it will drive you as crazy as it's driven me, and yet it must be done. I mean, truly, I don't see how anybody ever does anything. There's no time. I, who cut out almost all of my life, I was so busy today that 5 minutes, I worked up to 5 minutes before you came, and then I thought, you know, I mean, I did everything I possibly could, one after the other. And I still got ready 5 minutes before your arrival. And the fact that you were both a little bit late was, you know, gave me a moment to be very grand and like a teacher, okay? So, this is today's lesson. I think the next time that we meet, Do nothing. Do no exercises, please, because that's leaping into it. Let's wait. And the exercises that I give Ruth, I will also give you, because you have to know that. I mean, hers happens to be right in the shoulder, through the arms, out into the fingers. Me too, and you too. But on those, we'll concentrate on Ruth. When he manipulates, so too. You will be doing the same exercises, but we'll watch each other for special reasons. What we have to learn to do, not to isolate. No, that's mime technique. I don't know anything about mime, okay. What I have learned from the Alexander Method is that, and from Marshall Ho, and from what?
Mary Sue.
Mary Sue, exactly. And from Marshall Ho, when he once explained Gung Fu,